And we're looking at Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Want to talk about conflict. Just before I came up there, I was thinking, came into my head about Sir Laurence Olivier, and he done that long-running series, The World at War, where it went through all the Second World War. And then I was thinking, has much changed? The world is still at war. So look at Ezekiel 28, and we'll see the conflict, and possibly the conflict of the ages. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 11. Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and has corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. In these verses, we are given a description of the highest created being in all of God's creation, the anointed cherub that covereth, perfect in beauty, full of wisdom, who had been in Eden, and whose heart was lifted up because of his beauty. God cast him out of heaven to the ground. And then in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, we read that, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And in these verses we see that the anointed cherub that covereth is Lucifer, son of the morning. And Lucifer means brightness. And 2 Corinthians 10 and 13 reads, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And here we see that the anointed cherub that covers is Lucifer, the son of the morning, and Satan. Revelation 12 and verse 9 reads, And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And here we see that the anointed cherub that covereth is Lucifer, son of the morning, Satan, the great dragon, the old serpent called the devil. And Genesis 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Here we see the triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1 verse 1 reads, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And here we see God the Holy Spirit at work in creation. And then in John chapter 1 verse 1 we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And verse 32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it sat upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And Matthew 3 and 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And in these verses we see the triune Godhead at work in creation. God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And continuing in Genesis 2 and verse 7, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." In these verses we see that the Lord God made Eve a helper for Adam and instituted marriage between man and woman, between men and women. "Therefore shall a man leave his wife and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So the Lord God gave Adam a gardening job, and Eve, his wife, was to help him with it. And verse 16, "The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Then in these verses we see that Adam and Eve were created immortal, but that they would die as a result of having broken the only rule that the Lord God gave them, which was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest they would die. And in chapter 3, we read that the serpent was more subtle than the beasts of the fields which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God never said, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And in verse 13, "The Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy brow, in the sweat of thy face, shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt I return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam, and also unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. In chapter 2, verse 15, where we read that the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it, we see that the Lord gave Adam and Eve a gardening job. But as we have seen from our readings in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 and Revelation 12, that the anointed cherub, Lucifer the dragon, that old serpent, the devil and Satan, was already there in the Garden of Eden. So as well as giving Adam and Eve a gardening job, the Lord gave them conflict with Satan. Ephesians 6 and verse 11, Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. From these verses we see that we as believers are indeed all combatants in the conflict of spiritual war with Satan and all his satanic forces. And what is the highest that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, but the anointed cherub that covereth, Lucifer, the great dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. And Hebrews 2 verse 6 reads, What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honour, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under him. But now we see not yet all things under him. The Lord God made man a little lower than the angels, whereas the anointed cherub that covereth Lucifer, the son of the morning, the light bearer, was the highest of the Lord God's created beings, who in his pride said that, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, I will be like the Most High. And the Lord God answers with, Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And here we see that the Lord God's chosen method to accomplish this was to bring this prideful exalted being, Lucifer, down by a man who was created a little lower than the angels. The highest being of creation was to be humbled, by a lower being, a man, and a little lower than the angels. The Lord God gave Adam conflict with Satan, and the Lord God gave Adam a helper, Eve, to help him in the conflict with Satan. They were to work together as a team. So when Satan deceives Eve into eating the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Eve gives Adam to eat, here we see that Satan tempts Eve by telling her that she will not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan tempts Eve by telling her that when she eats the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then her eyes will be opened and that she will become a god. And in succeeding to get Adam and Eve to disobey the Lord, Satan causes Adam and Eve to be at conflict with God, to forfeit their immortality, their dominion over all the living, which becomes Satan's. And for Adam and Eve now to be at conflict with God. And when the Lord God asks Adam, "Who told thee that I was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And here we see in Adam saying that, we see that when Adam blames his wife Eve for his demise in falling from grace, we see that Satan has now also succeeded in causing conflict between husband and wife. And when husbands and wives are at loggerheads with one another, we can be sure that the conflict between them is from the devil. If we, at the start of our row, could take a step back and say in our minds, "What is the reason? Why am I thinking like this?" and remember that a soft answer turneth away wrath, and because that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. The Lord God said to the serpent in verse 15, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The Lord God is telling Satan that a son of the woman would yet defeat Satan by bruising his head. And because of this, Satan has a great hatred of marriage between husband and wife. And then also he has a great hatred of the institution of the family, who are the method that the Lord God has chosen to bring about the devil's demise. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 15, here we see the fulfillment. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, here we see the fulfillment of the Lord God's prophecy of the seed of the woman. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And then we read in verse 20, in 1 Corinthians verse 15, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And here we see Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We see the fulfillment of the Lord God's prophecy to Satan that he would bruise the head of the seed of the woman. Then that we see the fulfillment of the Lord God's prophecy to Satan that he would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. Then in 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, 15 and 45, we read that, "And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second is of the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we've borne the image of the earthy, we must also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit uncorruption. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought about to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Here in 1 Corinthians 15 we see that death came into all the world through the first man, Adam's disobedience, whereby he lost his immortality. So in Adam all die, and through the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ's obedience, immortality is restored to all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you are listening to this message and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, why not ask him to save you just now, and he will, and you will receive the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation, because tomorrow for you may be too late. Revelation 19 and verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of saints." And here we see that all the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are his wife and are arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And in verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And here we see that the Lord's bride, his wife, is to be with him. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule with them, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire of burning with brimstone. And chapter 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And verse 7, and then the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of the prison, and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went about on the earth, breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, to be tormented day and night forever and ever. And in these verses we see the seed of the woman, the last Adam, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, along with his wife, the saints of God, dressed in white linen, who are his army, defeat the beast, the false prophet, and their armies. And then the anointed cherub Lucifer, the dragon, that old serpent, the devil and Satan, and his army of Gog and Magog, as many as the sand of the sea. And in these verses we see the Lord God prophesy to Satan that the seed of the woman would bruise his head, fulfilled in him being cast into the lake of fire and brimstone to be tormented forever and ever. You remember that Peter in 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, as your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And and we are not, lest the devil take advantage of us, we're aware of his devices. So Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The conflict of the ages. Amen. Do you close in prayer, do you?
Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your work this morning and the clarity of it, Father. We thank you, Father, you're in control of everything, Lord. The devil, God, is allowed to do what you are allowed to do. When you made the world, Father, the world without form, so something must have happened, Lord. Thy servant Wally Mullen said, Father, that you left the devil sitting in the dark because he wanted to be like the Most High. And you showed him, Father, who was in charge when the earth became topsy-turvy. And Father, he was sitting in the dark and he never moved until you brought the light into the world. And we thank you, Father, for that light that our brother has been talking about this morning. We thank you, Father, you're in charge. All things are in your hands. You know the very thought of mankind. You know the way the world is going at the present time. That man has rejected your word. Man has rejected your commandments. And man has went his own way again, Father, and doing their own thing. Yes, Father, the woman was made for the man. And they were to go forward and be fruitful, Father. And as my brother rightly proclaimed, Father, that, Lord, it was a teamwork, Lord. We were trying when the devil would come in, Lord, they started to blame one another. That Adam said that Eve gave me the apple to eat, and Eve said that the devil gave him gave her the apple. So it's just today the same thing, Lord. Everybody blaming everybody else, Lord. And that, Father, there's only one man that can put it right. And that, Father, you sent your Son into the world, Father, to save man. And, Father, we thank you, Father, that you did save man, Lord. You left the door open, Father, that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. And have it come unto me. I'm no wise cast out, as Psalm has already put it, Lord. Man has a way back to his God. Man has a way of getting clear of sin, Father. And we thank you, Father, this morning in this hall, Lord. We thank you that we're washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Not what we have done, but what he has done, Lord. Yes, Father, we thank you for the word this morning. It's your word. And we give you thanks, Father. May you use it to your glory and your praise in the days that lie ahead. We give you thanks again for our time here, Father. Pray, Father, you take us from this place. Take us to our homes in safety. And let nothing befall us by the way. And when we return again, Father, we return to sit at thy feet again, Father. We give you thanks in the lovely name of our Saviour. We thank you again, Father, for Psalm. We pray yes. You undertake for him, Lord. We know, Lord, he has a job, and he, as our brother Jordy rightly says, it's hard to make the two together, Lord. But, Lord, we thank you for it. In the Saviour's name we give you praise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, David.